and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yo, from Carl Palladino's home state. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and New York, the rematch. Here I am, 6 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit joining me live. There he is right now, live in studio. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Do what I do. Back up all your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. Chris, I broke the Skype.
Oh, God.
As I'm known to do, I've broken everything in the New York studio already. It's Monday, so that's important. I still have a jingle, don't I?
Sleep off of the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. I see you live, those beautiful twinkling eyes.
It's so beautiful to be in your presence again.
I've missed you so. John Fugelsang will also be, I know it's Monday, it's all cattywampus. It's a New Yorkie. It's a New Yorkie show today.
That bastard owes me $10.
Is Rude Pundit wearing his Muslim garb? And is he frightening you, Stephanie?
Yes, he has an entire headdress. I'm a little nervous, frankly.
Yeah, you know what? It's the shades of a Dubai sheik that actually make me extra scary.
Boy. Here's the thing. Oh, Chris, by the way, what? I break everything everywhere I go.
What happened?
I broke our Syracuse station, I think.
How did you do
I broke Ithaca, and now I have broken the New York Bureau again. I don't know. I broke Skype. Even two different IT guys can't figure out why I can't get on Skype on my computer. But anyway, I remember what you look like. It was only, Friday.
That's true.
Tiffany sends along this. Steph, I got this note on my desk from my right-wing IT guy office mate. Our internet had been super jacked up, and when they went on the roof to check the wiring, it was all burnt up. He attributed it to me streaming you from WCPT online every morning.
Uh-oh.
And then this is the passive-aggressive note that the guy left. Look at that, Rude. There's a little burnout thing, and it says the note just says, your left-wing propaganda caused this.
Wow. You're like the paranormal activity of electrical devices.
I'm the left-wing entity. Yeah, that's exactly
Rude Pundit was referencing something that happened this past weekend. You were referencing something that happened in 1980.
What happened this weekend? I missed it.
Paranormal Activity opened in number one.
Sure. Yes, I understand.
But again,
I was in Ithaca having a hot and steamy weekend with Bill Press. I don't remember anything.
You know,
we barely got our head above the covers.
Wow. You know what? I would like to think that you had the entity and Barbara Hershey getting ghost fondled,
ghost raped.
Yes, ghost raped as your lovemaking scenery.
Yeah. Well, she was raped by a sound effect.
Yes. Yes.
Chris. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
I have a theater degree from USC, you know.
I've missed you.
I missed you, too. All right, but thanks to all the fine folks on Ithaca, Susan Johnson and the gang. We had an amazing time. What an awesome place Ithaca is.
Yeah.
Have you seen the gorges and the waterfalls and the...
I hear they're gorgeous.
All I know is... Pardon me? Ithaca is gorgeous. Get it? I have one of those t-shirts now, everybody. But a good time was had, as they say, by all. I could tell you my best joke, Chris, if I had my box with me, but since I don't have my bleep button, I can't.
Okay. Well, I can try.
Oh, well, I was talking about the Republican women and the ball humor. You know, what's with you write about this week,
yes.
Rude, about, you know, what's with the man up and the, you know, the president doesn't have any cojones and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And I said, Democrats, we may not have any balls, but at least we're not the that have been... big country for the last 8 years. Yeah, I think that probably timing is a little more important in comedy than that. But anyway.
Maybe a rehearsal would have helped.
All right.
Wow. So, you don't have a traveling box?
I do not. Ever since the, we'll just say, the incident in Columbus.
I'm not allowed to travel with my
box anymore. Hey, speaking of what, I understand there's a 6-foot snake here that was found in Harlem.
Wow.
That is not a joke. A Parks Department employee got a nasty surprise Wednesday. Never mind. When he found a 6-foot-long python That would be just in time for me to be back, because I understand the bed bugs are still here, the rats have gotten really bad, and now there's pythons.
Yeah, yeah. I must have been a Republican pet, because, you know, they're manning up.
Stephanie, once again, you're making New York City sound so enticing.
No, I'm very dressed and beautiful here, and I'm thrilled to be back, actually.
It's a lovely autumn.
I walked this morning, Chris, I got my bagel. I am staying with the guy, once again, who owns the show, who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money in his sumptuous Home Alone apartment.
Wow.
I've mentioned before, he married very well. It was what would be known as cavernous.
Really?
I just try not to do anything with the little fancy soaps or the little fancy towels. I just try to, you know.
They set up fancy soaps and towels for you?
Well, they're just there.
Oh.
You totally use them. Use them, because that messes with people when you actually use the fancy soaps and towels.
Yes, and leave everything all disheveled.
Yes, yes, when you melt down the shells that are nicely formed in the soap.
And then something untoward always happens in the most, you know, fancy bathroom. Something like, oh, no, I cannot clean this up with little tiny towels.
Did you plug up his toilet again?
I did not.
Wow.
Flying always gives me, you know, some gastrointestinal situations, but it was fine. Fine.
It's all the liquor on the plane.
Yes. On that long flight from Ithaca to New York. Uh-huh.
So, Chris, I have a big week. I have a big fancy. Can I have some big fancy in New York music, please? I have a big fancy week in New York, you know, Rude. No, it starts out with you live in person.
Wow, I'm glad to be your opener.
Bugle sang live in person today. Oh, we also have Mondays with McClurg. Edie will be in the L.A. studio. We have Eric Bollard from Media Matters, who's sucking up all that George Soros sugar, so I don't have any, once again.
Yeah. Rude, do you get any George Soros money?
Oh, I get tons of George Soros money. That, you know what? The reason there's a blogosphere is because of George Soros.
Lord.
Oh, the things he makes me do for it, though.
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
All right, let's just, what else am I doing? Oh, I am going to an event for the TJ Martell Foundation on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that my fancy New York music?
Sure.
Yes. Because the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is the president of TJ Martell.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has breast cancer, and he lost his first wife, actually, to breast cancer. So it's this big, great event. There's lots of musicians and a big, fancy thing. And then, Chris, because, as you know, I'm a professional gay,
yes.
I am going to a big gay event on Thursday.
Wow, they have those in New York?
The human rights, what is it? The human rights, the people behind Prop 8.
Yes.
Human Rights Campaign?
Yes.
Yes. HRC?
No, not
no,
that one.
Okay.
I'll get that information in a moment and get back to you on that. But it's all the fine folks behind No One Prop 8. All right. So, and I'm having dinner with Ed Schultz. I think tomorrow night I'll have stories all week.
Wow.
Yes.
Are you going to be on the Ed Schultz show?
I hope so.
Okay.
They couldn't find a satellite in Syracuse Friday for whatever reason.
Oh.
So I don't know. All right. So the Rude Pundit is with us, as I mentioned, live in studio here. And you're blogging this week. It's first of all, you need to give the George Soros money back, because the comedy writes itself with these teabag candidates.
Oh, yeah. I'm not earning a penny of it, but
no. Sharon Engel, you write, is running the most hateful Senate campaign out there. I loved it. I don't know if you saw just the look on Chris Matthews' face on Friday when he played that, man, I'm Harry Reid, man. And he just comes back like someone farted, and he just goes, what? I don't get it. There's no charm in that. What does that even mean, man up?
I just love that it's all these women that are assaulting the masculinity of Democratic males, and it's like, it's almost as if they're saying, well, these guys are basically chicks, so why not just elect a chick?
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
It's I think it's part of the Republican Mean Girls thing that Maureen Dowd, by the way, Chris, did you see Caribou Barbie's reaction to Maureen Dowd? She's like, oh, well, I don't even know that gal. Who, Maureen? Who is that now? I don't even know that.
That's because she doesn't read a damn newspaper.
Dope.
Well, but then did you hear Maureen Dowd's response to that?
What'd she say?
Which was, she wasn't allowed on Sarah Palin's plane.
Right.
So she wasn't even allowed to interview.
They criticized them for not really personally knowing these candidates, who won't let them anywhere close to them without arresting them with their, you know, private police forces, which we'll get to. We'll get to your Joe Miller posting, which is hilarious.
Well, thank you.
Being without my box or my button, it really is difficult to to quote you exactly.
Sure, oh, this is going to be tricky.
Yes. You could just say banana for every bad word. Those mother bananas.
That'll work.
Whereas I actually did highlight, because it was one of my personal favorites. You write about Joe Miller. Well, you say all the answers are plain to see when it comes to the array of bizarre and unqualified Republican candidates who are in the running for senator, which used to be considered an important position. Part of it, you know, your bigger meme is really true, that the media, for whatever reason, has to sort of pretend like this is serious. Like, Christine O'Donnell is not just the biggest idiot in the history of the world.
Yeah.
They have to sort of pretend like she's credible.
And the only reason they do is because the people of her state were deluded into voting for her. You know, 30,000 people in Delaware were.
Right.
And but, yeah, there's all of these candidates that the media should have been out and getting rid of, essentially, early on.
Yeah. You write of Joe Miller. Sure, his tyrannical tendencies and beliefs are important. But the truth of the matter is that Joe Miller is a hole. He's a paranoid douchebag whose employers have despised, which is true. And you say a real media would have eviscerated this collections of buffoons and bastards. I mean, you know, and it looks like now the latest thing is his employment records are going to come out.
Yeah,
and so
his personal records. But this is not.
We are going to see what a banana
hole. Banana
he
hole
is.
He is.
Yes.
A banana hole?
Banana hole. I don't know that that's really better, is it?
Not really.
No.
That's even dirtier. How do we do that?
Oh, dear. Know.
But maybe we created a new curse word.
Yoo-hoo!
Woo! All right. Much more rudeness, yes, we have some bananas. As we continue with the Rude Pundit live in studio in New York, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated this week. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. 23 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit live in studio with Mama here in New York. Rude asked Chris why I hate the military so much.
Why?
Well, because, you know, we're on the left, so clearly we just hate the troops. Well, because I broke Skype, and many parents use that to keep in touch with their loved ones in the military.
That is true.
I broke it. Two of the best IT guys in the country, one in Syracuse, one here. I cannot revive my Skype. It's dead.
Wow.
And Hal Sparks broke something last week, didn't he? Did he break Twitter or Facebook or something?
He broke the internet.
He broke the entire thing. He uses it entirely too much. It's like staying in the shower too long or whatever. It's like, come on, get out of there so other people could use it. All right.
He used all the internet's hot water.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just love that Hal Sparks on a 24-hour stream. It should just be like Big Brother House, just Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Well, you can get that on his new iPhone app.
Really?
Yes.
Of course you can.
Wow. I think it should be like a day, like get rid of all the food in his house and force him to stay there and just see what happens after a couple of days.
We don't believe in torture on the left. Come on.
It's an experiment.
Now, we've been talking about your blogging this week about the teabagger candidates, which really are it's a comedy buffet and yet a sort of a horror show for America, mm-hmm. as you sort of point out. One of the things we love, the debate, you write at the debate yesterday, a Delaware Republican, and a woman who is you because you apparently have picked on a satanic altar. Christine O'Donnell expressed shock at the idea of the separation of church and state was in the First Amendment. The kindest reading of O'Donnell's smug, self-satisfied gotcha look, that's my favorite, is that she was asking about the exact phrase to separation of church and state. So you were saying everybody went into overdrive, Rush Limbaugh, and which you suggested he did a rude thing with his wife over this, but that's not important now.
Yes, yes.
It's important as they went into this full defense of her. Like, oh, that's what it was, liberal media.
I just don't understand why they can't cut some people off. Why can't they just say, all right, you know what, we're going to let this one go. Rove wanted to. Rove was setting it, where Rove was teeing it up, but nobody was taking the swing.
Yeah, yeah. Chris, can you get your finger on the bleep button, please? Because mm-hmm. the point of the blog post is it's the 800-pound mother just sitting there. She's too stupid to be a senator. That's the thing. That if we and they would find a lighter way of saying that, but you know what I'm saying. That's the truth of it. You're right. People have to sit around and pretend like she's some sort of serious person that, you know, would parse what she meant. And it's like, and you can't say she's just too stupid.
And it's not that we haven't elected people that we think are stupid, but, you know, you can at least make a case that people we despise, like Jim DeMint, that he's actually an intelligent person. He may use that intelligence for evil instead of good, but he's not dumb.
Right.
And Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Engel, they're just not bright.
Yes. that's the most polite way you've ever said that. But,
I'm glad the people of Delaware are realizing that. The people of Nevada, however, that race is still a little too close for me.
Well, isn't that the scary part, is that a couple of them are going to get in?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, is who's to tell? We are literally in the final push here, right? So I don't know what's going to happen there. We'll see if that makes any difference this week as when his employment record, but that's tight in Alaska.
Yeah. Well, Murkowski's coming back, but to sit here and go, oh boy, I hope Lisa Murkowski wins.
I know, we're rooting
just,
for you.
It's just horrible. What a terrible position to be in to say.
Except if we just, that would be the best, chick fight ever for her to win the chick fight at Alaska.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a tee and a he.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking to Alaska Senator Mark Begich tomorrow about the Alaska race.
Oh, well, thank you, Captain Tease.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Rude also writes about Juan Williams. First off, the line that more than likely got Juan Williams fired from National Public Radio was not the his little tangent into how he's had it with these mother Muslims on his mother planes. See, that was a snakes on the plane joke,
it
and I
was.
Love that. That
thank
was
you.
Hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take on Maureen Dowd in the pop culture references.
But what is your take on it? I mean, you say the worst thing about the whole segment was another attempt for O'Reilly to get jobbed by everyone for his own bigoted remarks on The View. I mean, that's what O'Reilly's show always is, right?
It's an,
please
it's
come
a,
on
and
job me.
And say, something about
banana
me.
Banana job.
Right. Let's talk about me.
Right.
But I think that NPR played it completely wrong. If they wanted to get rid of Juan Williams, they had ample opportunity before, but their timing on it, just before the election, contracts end, and you signed this guy up. I'm sorry, what he said as a news analyst.
Well, I don't get why they let him and Mara Liasson on Fox anyway. The operative thing, I mean, and we'll talk more to Eric Bollard about this, but Chris, you were saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, explicitly, their ethic code forbids this.
Yes.
So I don't sort of get why they let him be on Fox.
It forbids them from giving personal opinion, and that's all Juan Williams has been doing on Fox News for the last 10 years.
But that's all he does on NPR. I mean, his job, I think that Jay Rosen, who writes a press blog, had this great look at what do they mean by a news analyst on NPR.
Right.
And that's his title. He's an analyst. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to give his opinion. And what he said is nothing worse than some of the opinions that they put on there on NPR.
Right.
And I actually, this isn't a First Amendment issue per se.
No.
He did not. He can say it on a street corner, and his right to free speech is still protected.
Right. You don't have a right to a radio job. Trust me on this.
Right. But I just. But I just think that NPR was looking for a reason to get rid of him. This gave it to him. Their timing sucked.
Yep.
And now they're an issue. And to do this with a Republican Congress coming in, that was real
smart.
That shows the Democrats.
Nicely played.
That shows the Democrats.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to walk around. I think my vagina is asleep.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour in studio here in New York with the Rude Pundit live in person and in living color. Ooh, looky here. I still got me a fancy phone machine here. David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Hey,
good morning.
None of the Sunday talk shows talked about George W. Bush, number one war criminal, crawling out of his cave and basically regretting the fact that he didn't privatize Social Security.
Yeah. I could have wrecked more stuff. Trust me.
Yeah, which is a GOP strategy then and now.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and that's the other thing is you go, how stupid is that to say, David? Because obviously if we had privatized it when he was president, all the old people in the country would be eating cat food now. If they,
I mean,
you know.
Exactly. And the timing of Bush saying this just turns all the Republican campaigns on its head. Because they're trying to hide the fact that they're wanting to privatize Social Security and make abortion illegal.
Yeah. They're like, yep, George Bush is still an idiot. Hey, go back in your cave, chimpy.
Well, I guess it's better than reminding everyone and saying, yeah, my biggest regret was all those people dying during Hurricane Katrina.
Oh. Yeah. Or in Iraq, right. Yeah. Or, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. There was no regrets. Yeah. Just, I wish I could have done more. I'm sorry that I had to stop the wrecking ball there. Just, you know, time ran out and all. All right, breaking news out in California, Chris LaVoy. Good, because I'm a happy, clappy liberal.
Uh-huh.
Democrat Jerry Brown has widened his lead over Republican rival Meg Whitman to 13 percentage points in the California governor's race, according to LA Times USC poll yesterday.
I'm comfortable with that.
52-39 is where they are now. At this same time a month ago, Brown had only a 5-point lead, according to the poll. He has since picked up, this is startling and puzzling, a wide support among California's Latino voters.
Really? Wow.
Where could that be coming from? You know how, Chris, they tried to spin this? They're like, oh, well, this is just blowing up in Jerry Brown's face because, you know, she paid her $23 an hour. And it's like, oh, please.
Right.
Remember I kept saying is everybody gets this on a human level. This mm-hmm. is somebody that didn't pay somebody fairly mm-hmm. for the number of hours she worked, knew she was undocumented. Mm-hmm. When she found out, this is a woman raising her kid, she's not even paying her gas money to do errands, and throws her out on her ass.
Right.
People
right.
understand that.
Well, she was covering herself politically and figured this wouldn't, blow up. You're right.
Right.
I think, though, with Jerry Brown coming back as governor, it's really time for a Jane Fonda revival.
But you know what I'm saying, Chris? It's like I feel like that story, unfortunately, that didn't play with anybody.
No.
It didn't
mm-hmm.
play with the right and tough on immigration people because they're like, nobody's buying the story that you didn't know she was undocumented. And then, you know, on the liberal side, you just look at the human side of what she did,
yep.
and that sucks too.
Yeah, it does.
Do you think all the rich people just slapped their foreheads and, oh, man, not this?
Exactly. The other good news, the other good breaking news in the LA Times poll yesterday, Senator Barbara Boxer has an 8-point lead now.
Oh, that's good.
I like that. I like that.
Carly Fiorina. So, and again, get out, wherever you are, and vote. I was talking to somebody in Ithaca who's been going door to door and yada yada, and he was saying, you know, it really does make a difference. Like, people are hungry for actual information instead of these attack ads, and they're hungry for face to face. I think contact with people. Mm-hmm. So I think it's still that's what I'm saying is this is it. We're in the home stretch.
Get out and vote a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here in Connecticut, I love this, Rudy. Linda McMahon also not doing very well.
Really?
Blumenthal pulling away, isn't he? I don't know the exact numbers there.
Wow. So all of these rich people are just sort of throwing their money into the economy. They're actually, you know what? I think we should encourage more rich people to run for office because it actually will create jobs.
Why do I just feel there's just smashing China everywhere in the Whitman and in the McMahon households
and
just screaming?
Fiorina?
Yes.
Yes, because she's putting a good chunk
of
her HP payoff, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of her old China and expletives, I think.
Yes.
Fiorina's throwing golden parachutes.
Damn you! I get off my husband!
But imagine that she's body slamming the servants up in Connecticut. McMahon, that would be...
I can't even imagine the amount of underlings that Meg Whitman has shoved at this point. Chris, I mean,
oh, I know. Asian and otherwise.
Exactly. She's had to move on to other minorities to shove.
Yeah.
Who are the most shovable minorities?
This is what it's come down to for Republicans. Issues? No. Republicans lashed out Friday after the Connecticut Secretary of State said poll workers would have the right to ask voters wearing World Wrestling Entertainment merchandise to cover it up because it could be considered campaigning. Obviously, McMahon's so closely associated mm-hmm. with the organization that wrestling garb could easily be construed. So that's what they're left with.
Wow.
It's just screaming that people can wear their WWE tchotchkes in Connecticut.
I want to wear my Undertaker t-shirt and just wander around.
I can dust off my old Rowdy Roddy Piper t-shirt if I...
Wow, that's old school stuff.
No, I'll go my Cowboy Bill Watts t-shirt. Nah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few people out there that are going, really?
Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, gang. You know what? Everyone out there has got to go and vote just to make Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh's heads explode when it's not a landslide. Just for that reason alone, it should make everyone want to go out. Hold the nose and pull the lever, you know?
Yeah. No, and I absolutely agree with you that Frank, did you read Frank Rich yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
He had some really good points, that the president has not gotten credit for a lot of the good stuff he's done. Some of that their fault, whether it's a PR thing or whatever. But, I just think that, I was thinking that, Chris, that that's the best way to say, because I understand people going, I'm going to send a message, I'm just going to stay home, or I'm just not going to, I mean, I think the best way to send a message, because what Frank Rich's point is, and what a lot of us on the left have said, it's because he hasn't gone far enough.
Right.
That would be the message I'd love to send, is to go here, we're backing you up, go further.
Right.
What I mean, in terms of all of it.
Right.
Because everybody knows, we're not going to get anything done if Republicans get in. What are we going to get done?
In fact, Carl Frisch has a great tweet this morning. He says, sad to hear so many LGBT people are thinking about not voting this week.
I was just, excuse me, but you just stepped on my guy by breaking news music. That was what I was getting to next right here. Can you see that?
Yes.
Can you see what he did to me?
The gay voters angry at Democrats. I'm going to actually read your highlights.
The gays have done to me.
Well, he said we should use the few civil rights that we have, which I think is a very good point.
Thank you. Well, I get called a happy, clappy, liberal Obama apologist every day. But, look, I am frustrated. But this is exactly my point, Chris, is that are you kidding me? We have never had such a collection of out-and-out homophobes on the right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? You're going to stay home or vote for the Green Party? Whatever. I mean, it's particularly, Chris, when we're getting this close.
Right.
On Don't Ask, Don't Tell and on gay marriage and all of that. You know, I mean, you know who's ruining America today?
Gay people?
Kate Kotar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And she's with?
Some story in the Associated Press.
And this would be regarding?
Gay voters.
Ah.
Kate Kotar is seriously considering voting for Green Party candidates. No. Instead of Democrats, whom she normally supports. James Wyatt, also ruining America, Chris.
Oh, and he's with?
Same story.
Okay.
Some random gay. Won't cast a ballot at all because he no longer trusts anyone to fight for causes important to him. If Democratic candidates are counting on longstanding support from gay voters to help stave off big losses, they could be in for a surprise. This is an Associated Press story this morning. Across the country, activists say gay voters are angry, and the lack of progress on issues from eliminating employment discrimination to uncertainty over serving in the military to the economy, and some are choosing to sit out this election or look for other candidates. And I would argue you could not pick a worse and more critical time in this tipping point in such an important civil rights battle in our history to sit this one out.
Yeah.
It's why I came out and I'm a big flag-waving homo now, for God's sakes.
Yeah, everybody, you want to make it worthwhile that Stephanie did that.
For the love of God, this is about me now, people! I'm a very private person!
You know what's one easy thing that the Obama administration could do that would get gays out to vote, not to just sort of generalize, but of course to generalize, there is just stop all the discharges of gay soldiers. Say that as this is being worked out in the courts, it wouldn't be right to subject gay men and women in the military to investigation and discharge, and just stop it and make the case that, well, we're not only filing to have an injunction against the ruling, but we're also going to stop the action on our side.
Right.
As this works its way through.
I understand what you're saying. I understand the White House's stance. I literally understand all sides of this. But all I'm saying is you've got to look at people that think homosexuality is an identity disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Gay shouldn't be allowed to teach. It isn't a valid or successful lifestyle. It's like alcoholism. I mean, you've got to look
at... You're like short people?
I mean, this AP story, a commentator saying, if candidates can mobilize the gay community and get them out to vote, it can make all the difference in the world in some of these key races. I mean, this really could make a difference in a lot of races. Many members say they won't vote or will vote against incumbents regardless of their party affiliation or stance on gay issues. That makes no sense to me. Many gay organizations, though, are working hard to get voters to the polls, fearing they could face setbacks if Republicans for God's sakes. Part of the Montana Republican platform is to outlaw homosexuality. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. people are disappointed, but understand that this really is the best hope for significant change over the next several years. But at the same time, the anger is very real. But, you know, and again, Chris, that could apply to any group that's going to sit this out. There's just too much at stake, in my opinion.
Yep.
Give me the president on the campaign trail this weekend.
I need you fired up. Because in just 10 days, you have the chance not just to set the direction of this state, but also help to determine the direction of this country.
I'm told that my friend Randy Rhodes is nearing a nervous breakdown. If for nothing else, for Randy Rhodes'
again?
Do not sit out this election. Get out there and vote. We're not kidding. 45 after. All right. By the way, she sent me more show prep this morning, Chris.
Oh, she did. Good for her.
She just went, "Hella, here." And then she sent me a story, and I just wrote her back, "Thank you, Hella."
What?
She questions your ability, clearly, because she sends me stories all the time.
Okay.
She not only does her show prep, she does mine for me.
Well, does she still want to do me, at least?
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess you can just be pretty and stay out and drink margaritas all night.
Oh, great.
Randy, doing your work for you. All right, 45 minutes after. Be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rude Pundit is live in studio here with Mama in New York City. Eric Bollard from Media Matters joining us in just a few minutes to co-host Right Wing World. Can I have my fine American music, Chris? I found the letter I was looking for. John in Ithaca, who I just met this weekend. Dear John, it's not a Dear John letter, it's a Dear Stephanie letter.
It would have been nice if he'd written to break up with you without ever being with you.
Dear Stephanie, first, thank you for coming to Ithaca and for the delightful evening you gave us all. It was delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on Micah Curie's campaign. That's there up there in Ithaca, obviously, making lots of calls, doing some canvassing. I spent 5 hours knocking on doors today, mostly speaking to undecided voters of both parties and independents. I'm finding that many are grateful for the information, for the simple human contact. I think probably a dozen people have moved into Curie's column from the undecided or leaning toward Hannah on the basis of these brief encounters, and some will talk to their friends. Not a single person has mentioned being contacted by Hannah's campaign. They're only seeing TV ads. The thing, people are basing all this, if you want to fight all this Chamber of Commerce money and all this dirty money that came in because of Citizens United, then you got to get involved. And thank God in some of these cases, like you're saying, where they're throwing billions of their own money into it. Sometimes voters are too smart. So, and that's the important thing is people are just, if you're just seeing attack ads, remember, they're probably funded by Karl Rove.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, what I want to say to your audience tonight, and what I would love to hear to say, you say on the air, is that we really can make a difference in these final days by volunteering to make calls for our local candidates or going online to Move On or Organizing for America and attending their calling parties or using their online calling tools. The tools are easy to use. The scripts are simple and straightforward. And one-on-one, the brief conversations do make a difference. John, a fine American, doing the Lord's work up there in Ithaca.
Wow.
Oh, Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hey, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Mooks.
Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to add my voice to the chorus of those encouraging people to get out to vote. It's really important. I've already sent in my early ballot, and I'll be working at my polling place this election day.
And I thought you said your bowling place. Oh, your polling place. Good.
It could be the same thing.
I'm still bowling afterwards, but only to celebrate, Raul Grijalva's victory because I'm in his district.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I heard, and
by the way, stand up to the bullies that are, for what they're doing to that man, right, Lavender?
Every
I mean, he's gotten
day.
A horrible.
I'm on my way to work, and Tucson is actually divided in half between Giffords constituency and Grijalva's, and my workplace is in Giffords territory, and as I'm driving to work, you see, remember Burma Shave signs?
Yes.
Yes.
They've got anti-Gifford Burma-shave style signs along the road. And I swear to God, every time I drive past them, I just want to get out and kick them.
Yeah. But no, I mean, he's been the target of an unbelievable, like, racist and death threats.
He is my favorite avuncular political walrus. I love that man.
I know. All right,
there's
honey.
There's precious few of those
Thank
left.
You.
Exactly. Thank you. Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, guys and gals.
Good morning.
Well, luckily in Washington State, we can vote early, and I already mailed my voter pamphlet off a week ago, so I don't have to think anymore. But what's driving me crazy is the political ads. I watched six of them back to back, three for the Democrats, three for the Republican, and yet they're not for anybody. They're against,
yep.
negative. I want to stick an ice pick in my eye.
Please don't do that.
No,
but yeah,
I won't, but I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, is you have to hope that a lot of places they're turning people off, you know?
Well,
I mean,
right, and the ad never promotes what the candidate's going to do. It's what they've done that's bad.
Right.
You know, and so, anyway, it drives me crazy, but hey, I love you guys.
Love you too, baby. Okay.
I think a series of ads of regular voters sticking ice picks in their eyes might actually have some impact.
Yeah, I think you're right, Rude.
Yeah, speaking of one particularly egregious one, can I have my scary, creepy music, please, Chris? Not the one that has to do with Barbara Hershey and the entity, but this is Democrats being raped by ads, though.
Yeah.
Scary music.
Wow.
Yeah, so there is scary music in a sense.
Wow. So if you hear this, Democrats, look behind you.
But a lot of them are just so patently unfair. And one of them is a really good candidate, Democrat Mary Jo Kilroy up in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And Steve Stivers is a Republican candidate. The Columbus Dispatch calls the latest Stivers ad ludicrous and red-baiting. The ad opens with an image of the ubiquitous Putting America to Work orange construction sign. The script appears, Congresswoman Kilroy claims to create jobs. The orange sign is then juxtaposed against a giant image of the Great Wall of China and the words... change to Putting China to Work. The sign reverts to its original design. The Great Wall disappears. The caption is, Congresswoman Kilroy voted for the failed stimulus, which didn't fail. The sign then is juxtaposed against an image of Tiananmen Square in Beijing, with the sign changing back to Putting China to Work. Then the ad shows Chinese currency being printed in the words, Congresswoman Kilroy voted for record spending and government growth. And then a headshot of Kilroy is sandwiched between images of the Chinese and U.S. flags.
Wow.
With the words, whose side is Kilroy on? Growing jobs in China, growing debt in America.
Wow, that's awesome. Couldn't they just transpose her head on Mao's body?
That's next.
Yes.
And somebody in Ohio right now is like, oh, ding!
We didn't
Got
think
it.
Of that. Billboard!
that could be an anti-Carly Fiorina ad, too.
Yeah.
Timothy in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Hello.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned something along the lines that over on the right wing, there are a lot of homophobes. But I would remind you that Obama opposes same-sex marriage.
That doesn't make him a homophobe.
We're not a homophobe, but in terms of, we have friends who are gay. My brother-in-law is a gay Air Force veteran. And Obama, effectively, in terms of at the end of the day, the result's the same. They're denied their human rights. And
no, it's the same now, but President Obama's working, and I believe that it will be overturned on his watch. Republicans will do exactly the opposite.
Well, I don't agree. I don't think he's going to do it.
You're calling the president a homophobe because Don't Ask, Don't Tell isn't overturned yet?
Well, not just that. The whole issue that he said explicitly that marriage is strictly between a man and a woman.
Right. And I disagree with him on that, but he certainly is far more for gay rights than anybody else.
Far more in effectively, where the rubber hits the road, where? In terms of gay marriage.
Gay marriage is not the only issue to gays.
That's not the only issue. I mean, there's a lot of issues.
But we're in gay marriage. Two of our best friends here in Atlanta are gay.
Right.
Good for you.
You mentioned that.
They can't get married. And
yes, I understand. And under every president previously, we have just now passed.
I'm getting married.
Yes, I understand that.
And we disagree with him on that.
We disagree with him on that. That doesn't make him a homophobe.
Well, why would he oppose their marriage?
In a way you could say, well, he agrees, you know, Obama's in the same camp as Chris Christie in New Jersey on that issue. However, I think that there's some extent that you need to look at Obama as a transitional figure for gay rights rather than a transformational
figure. But moving in the
figure.
Right direction,
yeah.
Exactly. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York. It's Mama and New York, the rematch. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Casey and Madison did. Hey, Steph, I think it's a great idea for liberals to vote for the Green Party to send a message to Democrats that they're quote-unquote too centrist. It worked really well in 2000 when they voted for Nader when we got 8 years of Captain Cokespoon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maddie. Thank you, Madison. Good. Rude Pundit is still here because I forgot to do your plug.
Yes, I wanted to plug something. If you're going down to the John Stewart Rally for Sanity in D.C. the night before, if you're looking for something to do, I'll be performing with other comedians and performers at the D.C. Arts Center in the Adams Morgan District, which is 2438 18th Street Northwest. Awesome. It's Jeff Chrysler, very funny guy, and you can find out more details at comedyagainstevil.com.
You have to see Rude Pundit live, Chris, because the thing he did here in New York at the Sexy Liberal Show on Reagan, it was the filthiest thing I've ever seen and the most hilarious.
Awesome.
And that's all I'll say.
So cheap and fun, and then you can stay up all night and go to the rally.
All right. Thank you, Rude.
Thanks.
There he goes. His rudeness, everybody.
Yay, Rude Pundit. RudePundit.blogspot.com.
All right, exactly. Hey, by the way, don't get their jingles on each other. Eric Bollard is here, isn't he? Where's Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
You know, you have some interesting stuff on the Juan Williams thing this week, in that you actually printed the NPR ethics code.
Yeah.
It says specifically they should not participate in shows, electronic forums, or blogs that encourage punditry and speculation rather than fact-based analysis. The NPR ethics code forbids NPR journalists from participating in appearances that may appear to endorse the agenda of a group or organization. And as you write, is there any independent viewer still watching Fox News who thinks it does not endorse a political agenda? Come on. So, I mean, that would be the question, is why he's on there in the first place, or Mara Liasson, right?
Exactly. And it also says, basically, that if people are appearing on forums that harm NPR's reputation, that those appearances should be revoked or canceled. And look, the problem is NPR has had this association with Fox in the form of Mara Liasson and had it with Juan Williams for years and years and years. And it started when Fox was just like a kind of a sort of a conservative news outlet. And it was a way for NPR to reach, you know, a name association with an audience it might not normally get. But what Fox News is now, compared to what it was in 99 or 2001, I mean, it's indistinguishable. And the question is, if Fox did not currently have an association with Fox, NPR did not currently have an association with Fox News, and Roger Ailes called up NPR and said, hey, we want to start an association. Can we hire a couple of your contributors to be on Fox every week? NPR would be like, are you insane? I mean, mm-hmm. we watch Glenn Beck. We watch mm-hmm. Bill O'Reilly. We watch right. this obvious open campaigning for the Republican Party. There is no way we are going to lend our name to your partisan organization. Thank you. No, thank you. So if they wouldn't start one now, why are they continuing one when it runs counter to their code of ethics?
Yep, yep. What do you make of the latest? So NPR has apologized, I guess, for the way he was fired.
Yeah. The CEO said, I guess she should have met with him in person and things like that. And hey, you can debate about whether he should be fired or not. You know, Media Matters doesn't have a position on that. But what should be noted is that this was not a one-time thing. He was not fired for comments
right.
he made on Monday. As the CEO of NPR has said, he has been warned time and time and time again about comments he's been making on Fox News. They've pointed out he's violating their code of ethics. They've been doing it for years.
Right.
And if you just read their explanation between the lines, at one point they came to the point where, like, why are we doing this? He's not listening to us. He's violating the code of ethics. That's why we're going to fire him.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think what's gotten lost a little bit in the press coverage is, you know, according to NPR, he was not fired for the comments from last week. He was fired for routinely and chronically violating the code of ethics.
Yep. Well, and trust me, Eric, as someone that's been fired many, many times from radio, it's not generally a loving affair. You generally, they don't, you know, have your colors done and get you manicure and pedicure and some therapy.
Yeah.
I told the story. I actually found out I was fired the last time from an LA Times reporter who asked me for my comment on being fired, and I was like, I've been fired? So trust me, it can be even more unceremonious. There's normally boxes and security involved,
that's
but
right,
okay.
Right.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Oh, heavens. Well, imagine that. Williams is already filling in for Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah, he did so on Friday.
Yes, here he is.
Political correctness, character assassination, and intolerance at National Public Radio.
Ugh.
That's the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. As many of you know, after 10 years of being a loyal employee, NPR fired me for expressing fear I now feel after 9/11 when I see people in Muslim garb getting on an airplane. God. My comments about my feelings supposedly crossed this line, some line, somewhere. That crossed the line?
This is why he's been doing it forever.
And apparently, NPR knew he was undocumented and didn't even give him gas money for errands.
And I think Juan Williams needs to get down off the cross. We need the wood right now.
Yeah,
right.
Somebody needs the wood.
Yeah.
No, well, but it's just amazing. I mean, he's going on Fox talking about free speech. He says he's being censored. The whole thing with Fox, I mean, just parading Juan Williams around for the whole weekend, pretending this millionaire pundit is the number one issue facing America, you know, days before the election.
It's almost like he said the N-word 8 times in a row or something.
We'll call you a wambulance, you and your $2 million contract. Okay.
$2 million a year.
Yeah.
But I think this is why he's been going against NPR's wishes for so long. He's been waiting to do this, to get a $2 million show and slam NPR in the process.
He's going to make $2 million to pop up on Fox News and pontificate about things. It's a pretty – and he's the victim. I mean, only in the Beltway culture could poor Juan be the victim in all of this.
And let me just, you know, if truth in advertising, I do it for absolutely free, so I could not be more bitter about it.
yeah, Steph, you need
I got
to get
an
some
axe
contracts.
To grind here. Are you kidding? I hoof it all over town for nothing. All right, Lou Dobbs on the Today Show.
The firing is not only not justified; it should call into question for the entire board at NPR what their CEO is doing. What we are watching is the authoritarian left. Trying not to win an argument, they're trying to stifle and shut down dissenting voices in this country.
Oh, God. Yeah, they walked into it, left themselves
wide
open.
That is part of the problem, right? Rude Pundit was just saying that. I mean, part of the timing on this, too, right before the election, handing them the Republicans an issue, aren't they?
Well, it's possible. I mean, I certainly don't think they, when they're handling an internal issue of someone who is, you know, routinely violating their code of ethics, that they saw it as, you know, a political issue or anything like that. But it's interesting, all the complaints about public broadcasting and it's how liberal, et cetera, et cetera. You know, just in September, the ombudsman had to address the fact that, you know, right-wing billionaire and climate change denier David Koch was funding the Nova. The PBS Nova special, and there were questions raised about whether that, you know, had some of its editorial softened because it had right-wing money behind it. So this idea that public, you know, broadcasting is just this bastion of liberal radicals. I mean, you know, Newt tried it in the 90s. George Bush tried it under his year to zero out funding. They try it all the time, and it never goes anywhere.
Yeah, yep. All right. Britt Hume on the Fox News Sunday.
Here it comes.
And the culture of NPR, appearing on Fox is a sin. And in the culture of NPR, for an African-American man like Juan, regardless of his extraordinary stature, to be there and be kind of a Bill Cosby liberal, not a down-the-line liberal, is a sin as well. They've been gunning for him for years. This remark about Muslim people in Muslim garbs at airports was merely a pretext, and they've been wanting to get him. And they got him, and in so doing, exposed themselves for what they are.
Oh, the left are racists now. Yeah.
This from Fox News is now deeply concerned about minority rights.
By the way, Jim, what's a Bill Cosby liberal? A liberal, you can't understand what this.
Bill Cosby liberals got us out from the
What did he mean by that?
Well, he means a liberal you can't understand.
No. Bill Cosby has been very. Upset about rap culture and all
right.
that.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And so he's been, hasn't been the, it's someone that
the doctrinaire liberal
on,
that they, right, okay. likes, yes.
Exactly. On some level.
But it's interesting. I mean, Fox News, this is the channel that, pushed the new Black Panther Party hysteria all
yeah.
summer long. And the race baiting has just been nonstop. But
oh,
now
please.
It's deeply concerned about Juan Williams and his $2 million contract.
You're right. It's Shirley Sherrod. Doesn't matter. Oh, angry black person, look. Oh, yeah. Here's another angry. Okay. Glenn Beck on the TV.
My liberty, I'm free to pursue my happiness. Well, to pursue my happiness, I have to know my stuff is protected. I have to be able to leave my farm. I need to have to leave my family. I can't be watching my stuff and do my job. I need a government that will just do enough to make sure nobody's stealing my stuff, but the government is now stealing my stuff.
What?
Is he just like a toddler having a tantrum at this point?
I don't know specifically what stuff the government was.
The government has sent me to bed without
stealing.
Dessert.
I guess when he stops spinning on his back, we'll find out.
The point was he has to pay taxes, so the government is stealing his stuff.
Yes,
right.
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. A little more right-wing world as we continue next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. He's probably just out spending all that big George Soros money on something. Did you just buy a Ferrari or something during the break? Or? All right. Eric, don't you love that at least he finally did what they've always been accusing him of? And, you know...
And then the best part was Media Matters finally admits to Soros funding.
Yeah,
because he finally gave us money. That's why we denied it in the past.
Yeah.
I know. No, but don't you love how they make it seem somehow weird and radical when you've got, God knows, the Koch brothers and God knows what all else? Like, what? It's like right-wing people give money to right-wing causes all the time. Like,
One of the Swift Boat guys last week came out, I think he's giving $4 or $7 million just for this campaign cycle to one of Rose Group. Right. $1 million we control all now.
Soros is a traitor to his class. That's their
point. Yeah, compared to the money with the Chamber of Commerce and these Koch brother things, Eric, you're right. It's almost like the Austin Powers $1 million, and everybody laughs because it's so outdated.
$1 million.
Did he give you a couple of friggin' sharps with laser beams attached to their head? Or? No. All right. Cheryl Cassone on the Fox Business Channel.
I think November 2nd is going to be the beginning, hopefully, of a recovery. We'll see what happens at the polls, but it's going to take a long time, and it's not going to be Harry Reid. It's not going to be the president. It's going to be collectively Congress.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Because that worked so well before Obama came into office.
Right. We've talked about this. I mean, this is sort of suggesting, we're going to see a rebound because Republicans are in control of the House. The stock market's going to go through the roof, and
Remember last week, Eric? I think someone said the stock market is going up preemptively because there probably will be a Republican majority.
That's right, because if you're a trader on Wall Street, who else would you turn to but members of the House Minority Party to get your signals on to buy or sell? I mean, the whole thing is silly.
Yeah.
All right, Dick Morris and Sean Hannity on Joe Miller.
I can't believe he actually put a reporter in handcuffs. I've always wanted to do that, but never had the guts.
I don't know if that's influencing the election, but, the problem is sore loser Republican syndrome has become a big deal.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
Sure.
Huh?
That was, oh, they were talking about Lisa Murkowski.
Murkowski, she's a sore loser Republican.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, the putting reporters in handcuffs, I mean, you know, we had Carl Palladino telling he was going to, yelling at a columnist saying he was going to take him out. We've got Joe Miller's private security team, you know, putting a reporter in handcuffs. And I mean, the Tea Party movement and their candidates could not be any more clear that, you know, they are waging a war against the press at this point.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Well, we'll see how that all comes out, because that could be the big exploding comedy cigar up there in Alaska, couldn't it, for the Republican Party? Sore losers, I guess, the ones that don't get out of the way for the crazy teabagger candidate, right?
Yeah.
Eric, are you there?
I am, yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Thought I lost you. Okay. Eric Bollert he was just thinking about what he's going to spend next with that big George Soros money. All right. Eric Bollert from Media Matters. See you next week, sir. Thank you so much, as always.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you. Oh, my God, Chris.
What?
You know, can I just tell you, you know, work refrigerators? The refrigerators in any workplace,
Just don't use them.
No, seriously? Can I just tell you something? They have stuff in there that I left in there.
Oh, wow. Oh.
And I moved back to L.A. in June.
Oh, Stephanie. Oh.
I'm like, that's my blue cheese dress? Oh. I should open that up, see how that's all doing.
No. Because then you're not going to be able to tell the blue cheese from the mold.
It's like my mom. My mom was a saver. I used to come home and I'd be like, Mom, you got these crackers when I was in college.
Your mom went through the Depression. She has a reason to do this.
She's a pack rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is here.
She's a hoarder.
Maybe they just missed me so much. They wanted some sort of mementos of my stay.
Yeah, that's it.
Noel in Los Angeles. Hey, Noel, welcome.
Stephanie, good morning. Good morning, Mooks.
Good morning.
I was just listening to you speaking to Eric. You guys were touching on for a minute about all the money that goes into these campaigns. And I'm thinking, you know what? These campaigns are nothing more than like investment, it's like a stock market for politicians, because, you know, I'm tired of people calling these contributions and donations. These are investments, because these politicians...
Right, they want something for their money, yeah.
Listen, when you make an investment, you want a return. So I can't understand why people in this country keep letting wealthy, wealthy corporations and individuals take over this country with their money. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and since Citizen United gotten even crazier,
mm-hmm.
Let's go to David in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Oh, good morning, Mama.
Come on, baby.
You kind of popped in. There was a weird lag. I just find it really... very hypocritical, of course, there is something surprising on the part of Fox News, giving all this brouhaha about Juan Williams. I mean, here's an employer made the decision that they don't like what an employee is doing. They warned him, giving him due process, saying you can't behave this way, right. And you keep behaving that way, so now you're gone. But all of a sudden now, that's a bad thing in the case of Juan Williams. You can't do that. That's where's the employee rights? They want to play at both sides constantly, and I think what they really want to do is just befuddle everybody so much we don't even know what do they want, and then hopefully the less educated, less insightful go out and just say, well, they must be right or something.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. As I mentioned from personal experience, you don't have a right to a radio show. That's the difference. What did we get fired for, Chris? I think it was Jesus Christ Superstud, wasn't
yeah,
it?
I think it was.
That was a right-wing station. I was left-wing, so
yeah.
I guess they were squelching my free speech.
Mm-hmm.
29 minutes.
You know, we could still play that on the street corner.
No.
Yeah, let's do that.
No.
After this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm seeing a fine bitch right now who works at Chick-fil-A down by the airport.
Stephanie Miller.
Got grease burns all over her arms. Am I going to marry her? Hell no. But she don't need to know that.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Yes, sir, Mr. President.
And so in 2008, you said, yes, we can. In 2010, you've got to say, yes, we can.
Yes, we can get the president a lozenge, for God's sakes. Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Roz.
Oh, first of all, I'm so glad your mom's okay.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Well, I'm going to give gays the best reason to vote they'll ever have. I didn't get what I wanted in the health care bill, but I don't want to see it repealed. Now, if gays want to see the hate crime bill repealed, just don't vote and let the Republicans get in, because they will repeal that, and you'll take such a giant step back.
And are you kidding, Roz, and the Jim DeMints of the world who think gay people shouldn't be allowed to teach?
Well, I cannot believe the guy from Atlanta that lives in the South that it doesn't recognize that not only will gays take a giant step backward, middle class has already taken a beating, so the racists will also take a beating in this thing, too. I would way in the world I'd vote.
Yeah, and the president, I believe, overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell on his watch, as he says, but we got to help him.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, you can't.
You can't lose the ground that you've already gained. And if I were gay, I would be in a sleeping bag outside my pole right now.
That sounds really odd. All right, thank you, Roz.
Outside your what?
The polling place.
Oh, okay.
Polling place.
Sorry, getting ready to vote, making sure she doesn't miss it. I think Joe Biden said, hey, bitches, come on, get it together.
Exactly. Christine is in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you. Stephanie, I love you.
I love you.
Love you to pieces.
I love you back.
I just wanted to clarify something for you and your listeners. I'm a veteran of the Marine Corps and the United States Army.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually discharged for being gay. And what happens is, this is kind of funny. It's more funny if it happens to someone else, though, in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny, not in a...
Ha-ha funny.
Yeah, not a ha-ha.
Right.
But I was actually investigated. I was investigated when I was in the military by a vindictive roommate. You can do that. Investigation was launched. Okay. So what happened after I was discharged, fast forward recently, I was in court. And before I saw the judge, the district attorney actually said, okay, we just need to ask you about this arrest. And I was like, what arrest? They said, this arrest in Virginia. I said, I've never been in Virginia. What are you talking about? I've never been arrested either. And they said, well, you have to figure this out. It was a military base. It turns out it was military headquarters, a processing base in Virginia. And the moral of the story is, due to that investigation, just the investigation, not the findings, I was charged, unbeknownst to me, with sodomy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I've been carrying.
Are you even capable of that? Wow.
So I had no idea I had any criminal background up until just recently.
Yep, unbelievable. Well, that sums it up right there. And by the way, you and I will have to go do some shots at the Billy Goat Tavern and talk about vindictive ex-roommates, because I feel your pain. Listen, I appreciate your story. Thank you.
That sounds like it violates the don't ask half of things.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. I don't care what you say, John McCain. It is the policy. It's these endless
policy,
witch hunts.
Not the policy. Not the policy. Not the policy.
Witch hunts. Yes.
Get off my lawn.
All right. Charles in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Charles.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you for coming out as a brown-haired woman.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep.
People are not talking about some of the other things that Juan Williams said. In January 2009, he's on the O'Reilly Factor, and this is a quote about Michelle Obama. And listen to this whole thing. She's got this Stokely Carmichael in a designer dress thing going.
What?
Her instinct is to start with this, blame America, I'm the victim rhetoric. And if that stuff starts to come out, people will go bananas, or in your case today, go beeps. But isn't that awful?
Yeah. Wow. No, I remember reading that one. Yeah. No, I mean that's exactly it. There's been a history of this.
It's not a one-time thing. He's been doing it, and he should have gotten canned for that.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, honey. Thank you for that. Might I have my guest the quotes, Jim? It's Monday.
Monday. Mm-hmm. What happens on Monday?
Well, I guess the quote's always fairly specific. Who said President Obama, the Rodney Dangerfield of 2010, gets no respect for averting another Great Depression, for saving 3.3 million jobs with stimulus spending, or for salvaging GM and Chrysler from the junkyard? And none of these good deeds, no matter how substantial, will go unpunished if the projected Democratic bloodbath materializes on Election Day. Some are even going unremembered. For Obama, the ultimate indignity is the Times CBS News poll in September showing only 8% of Americans know he gave 95% of American taxpayers a tax cut. Who said that?
Vanilla Fudge.
No, Frank Rich in another New York Times column yesterday. That appears Sunday, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Jim, who said the reasons for his failure to reap credit for any economic accomplishments are a catechism by now, the dark cloud cast by undiminished unemployment, the relentless disinformation campaign of his political opponents, and the White House's surprising ineptitude at selling its own achievements. But the most relentless drag on a chief executive who promised change we can believe in is even more ominous. It's the country's fatalistic sense that the stacked economic order that gave us the Great Recession remains not just in place, but more entrenched and powerful than ever.
Humble pie.
No, Jim, that is incorrect. That was Frank Rich in another aha.
It's Monday, you say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is what I was saying earlier, Jim, is this is why, I mean, we cannot sit this one out.
Well,
because Frank Rich makes the argument that you have and Paul Krugman has that we didn't go far enough, and the message you have to send is not, oh, I'm going to stay home or I'm going to vote for the Green Party. It's, we want you to go farther.
We
got your back, and we want you to go, like he talked about financial reform. They'll repeal all that stuff.
Mm-hmm, of course. But he also mentions what I've been saying, is that Democrats are terrible at imaging and marketing.
Right.
When George Bush had a tax cut, he sent everyone a big check saying, hey, you're welcome. Here's your tax cut. Obama didn't do that. It just sort of assumed that everyone knew they had a tax cut, and they don't. And that's Democrats have always done that. Just assume that our ideas are so self-evident that we don't have to tell anyone about it. No, you have to tell them all the time.
I know. I mean, it really is stunning when you read that. You go, 8% of the American people? No.
Right.
I mean, it's like there's
because
all this
they
whole,
didn't get the check.
This whole Tea Party is about that, oh, we're getting taxed too much. It's like, you
they
dopes,
didn't
you got
the,
a tax cut.
They didn't get the check in the mail.
Right.
That's marketing.
Right. But they literally, once again, they have this whole group fighting for the top 1%. To keep their tax cuts that is going to cost us trillions. It's just, you're going,
right.
And somehow they grab this populist mantle.
Right.
I mean, you're
because
right.
Because they're good at marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Because Democrats don't believe in business education because that's so crass.
Right.
But that's why we lose elections. Because let me say something in favor of negative campaigning. The anti-Carly Fiorina ads are great. They actually point out...
Well, but they're true.
Yes, they're true. And people, come on, negative campaigning, that's so negative. I like it. It's mean.
Hey,
but
she's running on her record,
yes,
right?
Yes, she literally outsourced jobs to China. It doesn't matter, you put pictures of someone...
Took jobs away from California
and sent them to China.
That is a campaign issue.
It's not a metaphor. It actually happened.
Right. And took those same tax breaks that she's arguing that we need in California because we're not business friendly enough.
That's another lie.
Yeah, HP took those tax breaks and outsourced all our jobs.
And that's another lie. There was a headline article in the Times that California isn't business unfriendly.
No.
We're better than a lot of other states. And, they're fairly high taxes, but there are all sorts of offsets and things that ameliorate that mitigate that.
Right.
Ameliorate.
But I mean,
that's
you're right. I mean,
for.
Jim, have we gone far enough on financial regulation, on gay rights, on healthcare reform? No. But we're going in the right direction. And if we can put some more wind at his back, he could get tougher. I mean, this is, we talked yesterday. He warned if Republicans take control of Congress, they would repeal consumer protections in the Frank Dodd financial regulatory reform legislation. That's how we got here.
Yeah, but he should have been saying that all along.
We call one of our most important victories he has achieved in office. He said, despite the importance of this law, despite the terrible economic dislocation caused by the failures in our financial system under the old rules, top Republicans in Congress are now beating the drum to repeal all of these reforms and consumer protections. He said reform included in the strongest consumer protection in history to put an end to a lot of the hidden fees, deceptive mortgages, and other abusive practices used to tilt the tables against ordinary people in their financial dealings. And he said the Consumer Protection Bureau will have just one job, looking out for ordinary consumers in the financial system. And obviously Elizabeth Warren is, behind that right now. This is, that's all I'm saying. It's just, I get it. It's the economy and jobs for this election. But the last thing you want to do is put more Republicans in on that front. Hello, Ron in Phoenix.
Ron.
Hello. Yes, hello.
I'm talking about our lovely Governor Dan Brewer.
Yes.
Jan Brewer is such a disgrace to Arizona. She tried to ram through a $5 copay for us poor people on Mercy Care, which the law found it to be unconstitutional. So with a strike of a pen, she took all the preventive care away from those people at a tone of $2 million.
Gee, it seems like her buddies in the private prison industry are doing much better, though. That's odd, isn't it?
or two top advisors for the governor. One is a lobbyist, and the other, his wife, is a lobbyist for private prisons.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And he has the Joe Arpaio, our rough-ass sheriff, is planning to fill the prisons with illegal aliens.
Of course. That's the whole point of that law.
Which he is under investigation for $8 million spent where nobody knows where it went.
Yep, exactly.
It's just a conspiracy theory. It's just they're building prisons so they can make money off having more prisoners, so they write laws that are bound to catch more. Yeah, clients. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's, you know, and that's the thing.
No, it's capitalism. It's not a conspiracy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with these, like, oh, you know, these crazy left-wing theories. It's like, no, the Koch brothers met with, you know, Glenn Beck, the Supreme Court justices, all of these corporate people. I mean,
corporations who outsource.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
But now corporations have more rights than individuals, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Stephanie, Classy with a K on the live blog says, Carly Fiorina looks like a dirty Q-tip. Just wanted to let you know that.
45 minutes.
They really do get some nasty pictures of her on those ads.
Oh, yeah, they do.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the midterms. We continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yes, baby. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from the New York Bureau this week, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Some breaking news out from California. Cub reporter Chris LeBoy.
Yes, Ben Pet. Hello.
Oh, pardon me, did I do that?
Yeah, you did.
I hit something. Pardon me.
Okay. Ben Patrick Johnson has run the numbers, and for what Meg Whitman wasted on her failing bid for governor, she could have fed the U.S. homeless population for a year.
Screw the homeless. Screw them. It's a bunch of Mexicans anyway. They can just all suck my gums.
Ew! Okay, Jerry Brown up by 13 points in the latest poll yesterday. That's just a visual. I will need steel wool to scrub that from my mind's eye. Jim in Las Vegas. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mama. Hey, the president was here Friday afternoon for a big rally for Harry Reid, and over 10,000 people showed up, and the energy that was at this rally was unbelievably great. Everybody was energized. When the president asked how many people already voted in the audience, I was shocked that over three-fourths of all the people that were there already voted. And the president was just so dynamic, it was just terrific.
Oh, good, good. So you got their enthusiasm gap right here, right?
Yeah, we got the enthusiasm gap, and it's working in the opposite direction. And all these people were campaigning for various elected officials, but everybody already voted. So
Jim, I would ask that as a loyal Stephanie Miller fans, that's when you walk into your polling place, wherever you are, you just grab yourself in your naughty bits and say, I got your enthusiasm gap right here. And that's how they will know they are us. You know what I'm saying, Chris? That's how they will know that these are the Stephanie Miller fans have arrived. All right. By the way, Harry Reid, making it personal, he did an interview with our buddy Ed Schultz on MSNBC. He said Sharon Engel is radical, dangerous, and embarrassing to the state of Nevada. He's still got a couple of punches left in him. That's a close one. And like you say, Rand Paul in Kentucky as well, a couple of teabag crazies, in my personal opinion. He will show up for the final debate, Rand Paul, and the tribble on top of his head, apparently.
And Aquabuda? Will Aquabuda make an appearance?
I don't know. That'd be fun, though.
That would be fun.
He's my campaign manager.
Aquabuda.
That'd be funny. I think the Democratic guy should tie himself to the chair with an Aquabuda in front of him. Is a little joke, a little visual. With fewer than 10 days before Election Day, Rand leaves by an average of 4 points. So, you know, that's a tight one. I mean, that is a toss-up. But that's the thing, is I hope people last minute, Jim, really look at how extreme these people are. I mean, Christine O'Donnell, besides being dumb as a stump... completely unqualified in every way. The people behind her, even crazier. Reuters has a breaking news story today about Christine O'Donnell's fundraising, noting almost all of her support among GOP donors has dried up. The story notes that failing that support, the mainstays of her campaign appear to be local activists associated with the Tea Party movement, in particular a group called the 912 Patriots and its leader, Russ Murphy. Murphy, of course, believes Obama is not a U.S. citizen and didn't even win the popular vote in the 2008 presidential. That guy.
I think there should be local control so that, you know, you can teach evolution in schools and to teach kids that the earth is flat. I think everyone has the right to different opinions.
Lawrence in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lawrence.
Hey, I'm not so optimistic, and if you don't mind, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And I want you guys, both of you, to dig down deep for this explanation. And here it is. The fact is the Democratic Party is in trouble, and I'll tell you why. It shouldn't even be this close. And here are a couple of reasons why. Obama is basically weak. And second of all is Americans, and if you guys look in your heart, Americans are dumb.
Wait a minute. Well, let's go back to why is the president weak?
Well, okay, weak may be a strong word, and everybody's afraid to say it, but I'm not afraid to say it. He's weak because first of all, he's trying to comprehend. It started with when the guy, Joe Wilson, shouted out, "You lie." And then the next day, Obama accepts his apology. He shouldn't have done that. He's not apologizing for Obama. He's apologizing because he disrespects that office of the American people. And basically, he should have just stood up for that. Then
right, but to me, that's not being weak. That's being a bigger man. That's having a hell of a lot more class than Joe Wilson. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Is the president say screw him?
I understand, but that's not important. I want to go to the important point is, and right. I want to see, do you agree? Americans are getting dumber.
Yes.
That's because Republicans are cutting funding to our public school system.
Yep. Oh, yes, I agree. But look, what happens when people are dumb? The first thing that happens is you can appeal to their fear. We fear everything. And the Republicans are smart at taking all your fears and making wedge issues. Mm-hmm. And until the Democratic Party...
Well, except guess what, Lawrence? Didn't work last time. And it won't work this time. Like I say, I think a lot of this, you know, whole Democratic bloodbath may be overstated. You know, a lot of media storylines have been wrong. And this was one they've been thumping for months now, right? You know, while a lot of these candidates, a lot of Democrats pulling ahead in a lot of these races. And, of course, not everywhere. But, I mean, it's just, it's like, man, they bang that media storyline, don't they, over and over.
You said bang.
Hey, speaking of dumb, here's Sarah Palin.
Now the momentum is with us. The momentum is with us. But now is not the time to let up. Now is the time where we dig deep. Now in these last 10 days is where we work extremely hard.
Okay, and she went on to say,
we have the greatest country in the world, and you all deserve much better than what you're getting out of Washington. Will you be there for America?
God. You're right, Chris. No, I guess that was Jim that originally said it is a bandsaw cutting through a bicycle.
A bicycle frame, not the entire bicycle, just the frame.
It's just a high-pitched whine, really, that I'm not certain why she...
You can see the sparks flying.
Yeah.
When you use a bandsaw, you're making something useful. What's the point of her? Here she is.
What do you do with any employee who is not doing their job? That's right. You fire them. You fire Pelosi. You retire Reed.
This from a woman who quit every job she ever started.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. She didn't need to be fired. She fired herself.
Yeah. Exactly. Aziza in Massachusetts, real quick.
Hi.
Hey, Aziza.
Oh, girl, I have been trying to get to you. I love you. I love how you stand by. And I also called today to remind you about FDR.
Okay.
And how the American people, before real change came after the Depression, the American people had to give him a Democratic Congress that would work with him.
That's right.
And they gave him the majority on both House and Senate. And the other thing that I wanted to speak to you about, my dear, is... the media overly analyzing everything.
Yes, you are correct. And unfortunately, we're out of time, so we have to stop analyzing how the media overanalyzes. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York this week. It's Mama and New York, the rematch. Oh. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like some people did with the unsolicited testimonials, Chris.
Oh?
To the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors.
Yes.
Like the very delightful Cedarside, our new sponsor that we are so thrilled about, Debbie in Millfield, Ohio. Steph, I just bought a quart of Best Yet Flea Killer for my dog and cat. I'm absolutely convinced Frontline killed my Scotty. 11 when she had to be put down, total organ failure. Didn't do anything but hurt my other dog's nervous system. 13 when she had to be put down, her back legs went out. That's what happened to my dog, Puff. And you have to wonder about this stuff. That's not a breed that would normally happen to. She was a Brittany Spaniel mix. They both went freaky when you put that stuff on them. And it's poison, people! It was recommended by a vet. I now have a new dog, a lab pit bull mix, and a kitten about 5 months old. I'm thrilled to have found something natural to use on them. Love to Max and Fred. Debbie in Millfield, Ohio. Yay for Debbie. Listen to this. The doctor from Cedarside sent me the American Vet Association acknowledges the justification of spot drops as follows. That's, you know, all that stuff, Frontline, Advantix. We realize the use of spot-on systemic chemicals will often cause illness, premature death, and damage the animal's organs. Subsequently, this protocol will shorten the lifespan of the mammal 25%. There is, however, justification for the early mortality based on the research fact the useful life of the animal is 75% of its full life. Well, no one that's ever loved an animal has thought that. Right? That, you know, right. It doesn't matter that last part of your dog or cat's life. But anyway, important, Jim, because you brought this up. And so,
yes.
About cats, because Dr. Ben, who is at, it's askben@cedarside.com if you do have any questions about this.
Yeah, I've got emails from people wondering about that. But
He wrote back to Ann, one of our listeners, who said, and he said, I probably get the same question about the danger of cedar oil to cats no less than 10 times a week. Western red cedar, actually a species of cypress tree, provides a dangerous oil when used on animals. It has all of the nasty things you mentioned and more. Cedar oil is used by Cedarside Industries. It's not from the western red, but from the Texas red cedar, a completely different species of tree. It took me many years to formulate an insect-grade cedar oil that could be used on cats and dogs. Rest assured, what I formulate is entirely safe for use on the feline species. I have 11 of my own treated periodically to prove it. So anyway, thank you fine folks at Cedarside. Max and Fred love it, and they smell so handsome. Oh, it's
stop
crazy.
That right now.
Oh, it's even more handsome and romantic, and it's cedary. Mmm, yum. All right.
So they smell like a mothball.
Why do people turn into a different character when they talk to their animals?
I don't sound stupid when I talk to Jazz.
That's how they like it when I talk to them like that.
Yeah, Carol Channing.
I don't know what's happened here, but the show's gone cattywampus. We're getting our Fridays and Doodles thing in our Mondays with McClurg. So I don't know, should we just play both jingles?
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, waste boys, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Mondays with Edie McClurg live in Los Angeles, and John Fugel saying here. I don't know what he's the Friday is. He's been sleeping here since Friday.
Mondays with Mugelsang.
Mugelsang, thank you very much. Yeah. I'm just here. I'm a big Edie fan. I wanted to catch up and jump in on her space. I just got back from the Russell Brand Katy Perry wedding. So, it'll be a great first marriage for both of them.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Now, are you, John, are you predicting a split before they've even cohabited?
No. I'm just saying that I have Chinese food leftovers in my fridge that will last longer than the marriage. That's all I'm saying. Wonderful people. I wish them the best.
I'm just saying, Edie, she's kissed a girl, and trust me on that. I'm just saying.
Is she referring to Russell when she said that?
No.
She exploded kissing a girl,
hair,
and she liked
he?
It.
Yeah, exactly. All right, kids. We've got our Fridays and our Mondays and our LAs and our New Yorks all mixed in together. It's one big happy family.
Yeah. Yes, we'll be talking over one another all the way along.
I know. Exactly. Because all of us in the LA studio now have a microphone.
Yay!
By the way, I got lots of fans in Ithaca. Edie's are like, I love that Edie McClurg. I'm like, well, who doesn't?
Well, yeah, anybody in upstate New York, I know that. Well, we go to Skinny Atlas, you know, and he has some beers down at the poorhouse, and then over to Lake Onondaga. or the cruel races, you know? Oh, yeah.
Of course they love her in Ithaca. Who doesn't love her in Ithaca?
It's very pithy in Ithaca.
Yes, certainly. And John Fugel was saying here for the rematch of Mama and Ithaca.
You are talked over, Miss Miller.
That's all right. That's all right. No, John Fugelsang is back here to welcome me back for the rematch here in New York.
I've missed you so much in this tiny, windowless, airless, godless, soulless room.
I'll bring all y'all back some bedbugs, okay?
You do sound like you're under the covers there, John Fugelsang.
Well, I don't want to tell you about where Stephanie stayed last night, but...
What? I slept with Bill Press this weekend, as far as I can remember.
Who didn't? That Bill Press.
All right, can I have some scary music? Kids, it's almost Halloween. We have to think of our costumes. Let's see, Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hi, Steph, Beck, and the Mooks. Election year always brings some easy choices. Steph, naturally, Christine O'Donnell, perfect choice for you. Another childless loser who, like you, is not a witch, but probably French kisses her dogs, but does not have the guts to admit it. Rebecca, only one choice. Carly Fiorina, you have the short hair and the really bad attitude Fiorina has. Just keep insulting Steph and you're good to go. Jim, with your knowledge of German, you have to be Rich Lott. A little SS uniform, and there you go.
And Jim has one.
Yes. What?
No.
Last but not least.
An SS uniform.
He has one painted on his skin.
I have a Luftwaffe uniform, but not the SS.
Chris, last but not least, Joe Miller. You already have the scruffy beard. Yeah, you do have the scruffy, creepy serial killer beard.
What do you mean creepy serial killer beard?
All you need is a black wig and some of your bulked up buddies to hang around you and refuse to answer any questions. There you go. Trick or treat. So in Rockville, with some costumes.
Joe Miller has more of the wall beard trimmer beard, like the Color Me Bad dude kind of perpetual style.
Yeah. Well, you just have to get some militia guys to hang around with you.
He's bringing Miami Vice back.
He looks like he belongs on the box of, Just for Men or something like that.
Exactly.
No,
it's that kind of beard.
Chris has that Tickle Me Elmo kind of beard.
No, they are bringing back that 80s stubble thing. Miami Vice. Hawaii 5-0 thing. They had a guy in Navy full dress uniform, but with stubble.
Stubble?
Nice.
You can't do that. The Navy would never allow that. Perfect haircut, but, 5-day growth of beard. What? No.
Great. They brought back the Miami Vice look, but Quaaludes are still gone.
Yeah, damn it.
Although, Jim, I have some squeezy stack for you. Could I have my squeezy music? It's a pervert stack. I just thought we should. Well, because, we're pretty inclusive here on the Stephanie Miller Show. We don't judge. We, whatever you're saying is.
Yeah, sometimes we do.
We've been known to.
We're very open-minded unless you're closed-minded. Then you can't join us.
Exactly. Yeah,
a 52-year-old man has been charged with aggravated indecent exposure after investigators say the custodian was caught with his pants down standing in front of an 84-year-old nursing home resident with dementia. I'm not really. Who does that?
Who does that benefit?
Exactly, and she won't even remember it. I don't even.
Maybe that was the point. She won't remember it.
What does that do for him? I don't get it. All right.
Can we blame Obamacare for that?
Probably in some way.
This headline: police pull over a man over and find his in his car women's underwear, a grappling hook, glow sticks, duct tape, stun gun, and zip ties, and then it got weird.
Now a warning.
Ralph Landers of Denver was sentenced to 16 and a half years in federal prison after pleading guilty to possession of child porn, identity theft, fraud, and other charges. He was arrested after postal inspectors arranged the delivery of an order of child porn to a post office box he had rented. He was then pulled over after making the pickup. Investigators found a pistol, a laptop computer, computer files. They also found a red tool case containing women's underwear, a grappling hook, binoculars, expandable baton, extensive collection of lock picks, glow sticks, duct tape, stun guns, zip ties, a headlamp, leg cuffs, handcuffs, several condoms, and a case containing syringes and pills.
What, no sea monkeys?
I can handle the child porn, but the glow sticks disturb me.
He has to marry that astronaut.
Yes, the one that traveled across the country.
He's dating the astronaut lady.
He's just Inspector Gadget. Or Pederast Gadget.
All he needs is her trunk full of Acme exploding birdseed and the rocket skates.
Yeah.
And the diapers, and it's match made in heaven.
And he's running on the Tea Party. And they're going to overlook that stuff.
And that guy is going to beat Tom Tancredo for governor.
Oh, man.
Do I understand that Tom Tancredo might actually win for governor? Is he the less crazy
now?
He has
a chance. No, he's not less crazy, but he has a chance.
He's not less crazy, but we'll see how much he does to get the illegal immigrants out of his state once he's in office.
Yeah.
We'll see how bad he wants his state economy to collapse completely.
Kick out anybody without an American name like Tancredo.
Tancredo.
But about the stuff that was in that box, you know, the glow sticks, aren't they just, you know, that you give those to kids to carry for Halloween, you know, so that they won't get run over and stuff like that. Mm. It's sad.
Well, it's better than sparklers, which burn at about a million degrees.
I guess so. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, whoever thought that was a good idea, I don't know. Just hold it as long as you can.
Instant tattoos.
Right. You got 10 fingers. Come on. You can stand missing a few.
Exactly. Bob in Watertown, Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bob.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Stephanie, this is Bob in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And we Republicans when we get back into office, we have a very simple solution for the Chinese debt, and I think we should give them a chance.
What is it?
Nuke them.
What's your real solution? Since you're a Republican, this is a chance for you to tell us what your actual solution is, because I haven't heard one yet this season.
It's just a joke.
Oh, I got you.
I get it.
Because they wouldn't nuke us back.
No, they love jokes about nuclear annihilation.
And, of course, all of our equipment is run on Chinese computer chips.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Knock our Air Force out of the sky. But
that's no way to treat your owners.
Yeah. Right.
17 minutes after the hour. Back with, I'm not really sure what it is. It's Mondays with Mulesang, which is a weird combination of Edie McClurg and
I'm
John
just here
Mulesang.
To hit on Edie over the airwaves from New York.
All right.
If only we had Christina van den Heuvel and John Fugelsang on at the same time.
Who hasn't had those two at the same time?
Right back on the International House of Miller as we continue.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Boy, do I miss synthesizers. Not.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Snob.
John Fugelsang here in New York with me. Edie McClurg.
Hi.
In studio in L.A.
Yay.
Oh, Edie, we're only a week away or so from the voting time.
Oh, I'm tired and I'm scared.
Yeah. Although it's looking good here in California. You know, the Democrats are pulling ahead.
But then people will get that false sense of security, and then they won't be,
vote,
you know, say, oh, I forgot. Mm. What time is it? You know, and then
I have a polling place. What? Yeah.
Well, if I think we know anything, that's Michael Steele knows what he's talking about. Michael Steele this weekend. Michael Steele, RNC chairman.
Oh, I absolutely believe in the House the balance of power will shift. As I like to say, we're 38 seats, and we need to get to 39 to get control. But I think we're more than there.
Who's
we? Tim Kaine, the DNC chair, said on the ABC's This Week that the Democrats said that the Democrats will maintain control of the House. So, you know, obviously, and, you know, they're chairmen of the other both parties. But who knows at this point? You're right. It's all about turnout. And I would love to prove that whole enthusiasm gap thing wrong and watch all their heads explode again, you know, because that's just been the storyline. Just like every storyline they had during the primaries and the campaign.
And you know who doesn't have an enthusiasm gap? The guys who program Diebold machines.
Exactly. Right.
They're plenty enthusiastic.
Yep, that's another factor that we can't really ignore.
Just remember, Bill Clinton losing the House and the Senate was the best thing that happened to his presidency.
Yeah, well, not this time. Michael Steele again yesterday.
We, this team, the Republican Party here in this state and nationally, we are grateful for the leadership of the Tea Party because they restored our faith in the Constitution.
Uh-huh. Leadership in the Tea Party?
Because there's no real leadership at the RNC. Wait a minute. Who wrote this?
Hey. Right.
And like your iPhone 4, Michael Steele won't be working in 3 months. Believe me, he will be looking for a job next year.
Tim Kaine, the DNC chair.
The more people turn out, the better we do. And we're seeing strong trends at the presidential rallies and early voting.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'll take your word for it, Tim Kaine.
Yeah, good for you, Tim. Mm-hmm. You keep on dreaming.
Yeah, a lot of the really crazy ones get the most publicity, but like Keith Rothfuss, come on down. the Republican nominee in Pennsylvania's 4th Congressional District. He was categorical in his opposition to supporting any aspect of the health care law, pledging he will not fund one Obamacare office. Hmm. Then he took his defund mantra a step further when asked by a constituent whether or not Congress can override the Supreme Court. Rufus argued that Congress could simply strip funding from the Supreme Court if it makes a decision he disagrees with.
Really?
Well, someone's going to need to apologize to Jenny Thomas for that.
Yes. I'll apologize to Jenny Thomas for that.
What? Where do these people get? Do they not have any basic understanding of the Constitution? He literally said if the Supreme Court rules you have to do something, we'll just take away funding.
Yeah. Well, they believe in the principles of their imaginary Constitution, which says whatever they want it to.
And just remember, educated, smart Republicans, once these teabaggers eat all the moderates and liberals and gay people and feminists, they're going to come for you.
Yep.
Okay? So just,
And there'll be no one left to stand up for you.
Clean up your house, educated Republicans, because the crazies are taking over.
That's stupid.
You passed the cute line about 2 months ago.
There was a cute line?
There was a cute line. Oh, come on. As a comedian, yes.
Well,
I mean,
okay.
You know, when Obama took office and everyone was asking every comedian, what are you ever going to laugh about again now that Bush is gone?
Yeah, and Obama has spawned these crazies that in reaction. Chris, Ken Buck.
Is that who you are, what you like to do?
Hey!
Thanks. Can't get enough of that. He, like his endorser, Senator Jim Inhofe, believes global warming is the greatest hoax that has ever been perpetrated. He said evidence just keeps supporting Inhofe's conspiracy theory
but
about...
But they believe in Reaganomics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because somehow that worked out so well.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm voting for Edie.
Oh, dear.
Edie just gave the biggest sigh I've ever heard. Oh.
But well, that's, you know, but the tide is turning, Edie. Don't be, you know, turn that frown upside down. I think in a lot of places that's true, don't you?
Edie?
Edie?
Wow. Well.
I just... She's on the fainting couch, I think.
I am. It was a feeling of... it's not ennui, it's despair, I think, by this point.
You can't despair, Edie. I won't let you despair. I won't let any progressives or liberals or sane people despair.
No, why so glum?
God's in charge, kids. God's in charge, okay? You're going to have good years in the polling place and bad years. Obama's going to be reelected at this point. I mean, it just... Who
I believe
to run
that,
against him?
Yes.
And, you know,
and President Kennedy will get a second term... Oh, no.
Jim Louise Ward.
Oh, Jim.
Seriously, why are you depressed?
I just feel as though the crazies have taken over the asylum, and they are convincing the not-so-smart.
Well, but the real crazies, Christine O'Donnell, Carl Paladino, are going to get thumped. You know, they're not anywhere near. I mean, Sharon Angle, Rand Paul, Joe Miller, you're right. Those are all close, and that's why we can't get down. We got to get people to get out and turn out because those races are very close.
And keep in mind,
right,
these people...
I'm going to turn my frown upside down.
these
I don't even care
office.
If you're faking it.
When they take office, they're going to be proven wrong about everything. They've got to actually work, you know? I mean, the worst nightmare John Boehner has is having to show up and work. And if he becomes the majority leader, he's going to have to do that. And then all their complaining and obstruction means nothing when they can't
produce. I got Rob Roy waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 o'clock, please.
The orange is sliding off me.
Well, when they're in charge, they'd have to put up or shut up.
Exactly.
This rusty nail isn't going to drink itself. Let's go here. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
There's something about you lately. Make me want to put my feet in your mouth.
Oh, wow.
It is the Yikes. Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang here in the New York Bureau with Mama, Edie McClurg in the L.A. studio with the Mooks.
Yay!
Hello, hello.
And she's gotten herself all happy clapping during the break.
We talked her down off the ledge.
Yeah, exactly.
She found Steph's happy drawer in the studio.
The president is yelling himself hoarse for you, Edie McClurg, for God's sakes. And all right, it's the other breaking news that could affect... We were talking about races with crazies that are close.
Mm-hmm.
In Alaska, In yet another blow to Joe Miller's Senate campaign, a judge ordered Saturday his contentious employment records be released. His employment records when he was a part-time attorney at the Fairbanks North Star Bureau have been a controversial issue. Depending on what the employment records reveal, their release could come as yet another hit to Miller after a rough couple of weeks, including the news that he hangs around with a militia group that arrest people, that ask him questions.
Wait, so you're saying a creepy right-wing governor of Alaska with ties to extremist militias and secessionist groups is replacing a creepy governor, Republican of Alaska, with ties to secessionist groups?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's my
wow. But well, I sweat for the Republic.
But at least they don't wear SS uniforms.
Yes, so. At least there's that.
Jim, I feel bad for that guy because he is like, what do I have to do to get press in this election? I dress like a Nazi in my free time. The hell? Do I have to eat a baby, too?
Well, the funny part was when the GOP sprang to his defense saying he wasn't technically dressed as a Nazi, but as an SS member. And that's
Waffen
the
SS.
Best defense I've heard yes. all season.
Well, yeah,
no, my
SS. They, you know,
yes.
they actually did some actual fighting in wars. You know, and loading people onto trains to concentrate.
Right, but they were reformed Nazis.
That was in their, yes. that was in their spare time.
Well, my favorite was when I was on Larry King last week, the teabag guy that was on across from me said, oh, please, Stephanie, Tom Cruise has worn a Nazi uniform. I'm like, he's an actor, you moron.
And he played Larry a King good Nazi.
Like, and even Larry King was like, but he played a good Nazi.
Well, actually, he wasn't a Nazi.
Exactly. Yeah. He wasn't an elected official.
Von Stauffenberg right. wasn't a Nazi.
Okay. Yeah.
Harrison Ford wore an Amish outfit.
I'm sure Edie McClurg has worn some outfits that, you know, I mean, she wore nothing in
she
Carrie.
She wore nothing in Carrie.
She was in the shower scene for God's
sake. Had a towel on and a shower cap.
At your party, Stephanie, at the wee hours at 2 in the morning when there was only a handful of us left, Edie McClurg told us the story of being naked in Carrie. There was only five of us left on the front porch.
Oh,
and Edie
will tell that her naked story to the drop of a hat, believe me. It's not hard to get her to tell them.
We thank Brian De Palma for the
slow-mo. It was in my salad days, you know.
Yeah, John, we do thank Brian De Palma for the slow-mo.
We were reminiscing about the party. I mean, I got to say, Chris, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, I lost a dance-off with Congresswoman Maxine Waters and her husband to Beyonce's All the Single Ladies.
Oh, I wish I'd seen that.
Gloria,
that was awesome.
Gloria Allred was dancing to Lady Gaga's mm-hmm. Poker Face and saying, Meg Whitman spent $120 million. I spent $10 million for this chalkboard, and
million?
I'm taking her down.
No, $10.
$10. Not $10
million. $10. Oh, I'm sorry. $10 on this chalkboard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Lily Tomlin punched Chris and Jim. She was so excited to meet them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You're Jim! Bam!
Wow. Thank
yeah,
you.
She was
punched
Chris.
Me because I was sitting on Jane Wagner all night.
And then just for the tongues alone, it was disturbing and delightful to watch Jim Ward and Harry Shearer do their Tom Brokaw off in my living room.
Going like, Tom Brokaw.
I missed all of that.
Stephanie Milhoff.
Well, you have an excuse. You were in a major play.
Yes, I was in a major play. We've now closed successfully. Lovely run at the Geffen Theatre.
All you missed is a lot of references to Kuala Lumpur, as I recall.
Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, Kuala Lumpur.
Well, Edie, we shut the party down. I walked Edie to her car around 3 in the morning. It was a beautiful night.
Oh, who
you
hasn't?
Tell.
Everybody has a story about that.
Oh, yeah.
Dave in Buffalo.
I woke up there, too.
Here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, everybody. I used to be on the radio. I tried it twice. Didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
But I was over at my dad's. You know, I fell asleep on the air.
It hasn't worked out for me either, by the way, but I'm still on.
Nor your listener, Steph.
No.
The record needle would be writing at the end of the record going, that's what we were broadcasting at 4 a.m. So it was my birthday on a Sunday. I went to my father's house. My roommate gave my father's number to my boss. My dad picks up the phone, and he and I have the same name. So he listens intently, gets this really weird look on his face, and goes, Dave, I think this is for you. And my boss gets on the phone, and I say hello. He goes, Dave, you're fired.
Oh, dear.
There was no meeting, no sit-down thing, you know, no offensive talk on...
Yeah, Juan Williams is kind of a delicate flower, isn't he, for God's
he
sakes?
Is.
Normally, it's like, here's Joe Miller's security cop in a box. Get
mm-hmm.
out.
And now he has to settle for a $2 million a year job.
You know, for $2.5 million, I'll tell Fox, I'll show Fox on the doll where the bad Muslim touched me, okay? I mean, really, Juan. Really. Can we agree that what Juan Williams said was stupid and NPR was probably stupid for firing him, but they both have a right to do so?
Absolutely.
I mean, where were these patriots when Rick Sanchez and Helen Thomas got fired for their controversial comments? I don't recall any outrage over that.
No.
But Juan, because they like Juan because he's like a less edgy Alan Combs.
Right.
And he's become such a
liberal
whiner.
Who agrees with Bill O'Reilly.
He's become such a whiner in the last week or so.
He gives Bill O'Reilly a much better blank job. Thank you.
You're
too late for that.
I know.
All right, can I have my deliverance music? You know, it's so little time. There's people wearing Nazi uniforms and witches and
Juan Williams carrying lesser, O'Reilly's loofah.
Yes. Some lesser candidates don't get enough love, John Fugel saying. They
I
don't.
Agree.
They need a little pub.
They are candidates of a lesser god.
Stephen Broden is a constitutional pastor.
A what?
Constitutionalist pastor? Do you know that? You come from
constitutionalist
clergy.
Pastor.
So he's mixing church and state. That's a good thing.
Yeah, works out in the Rand.
Who won the Republican nomination? Why not? In Texas' 30th congressional district, made a vaguely threatening statement at a Tea Party event last year. He said the federal government, he described them as tyrannical, said, we have a constitutional remedy, and the framers say if that doesn't work, revolution.
Mm.
Yesterday, a political reporter asked him to explain whether he's actually calling for violence against the federal government. After a prolonged back and forth, he said a violent overthrow is on the table.
Well, he said that's how Jesus would want it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. He said if the government is not producing the results or has become destructive to the ends of our liberties, we have a right to get rid of that government and to get rid of it by any means necessary.
As Jesus said, render unto Caesar bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Asked if violence would be an option in 2010 under the current government, he said the option is on the table. I don't think we should remove anything from the table as it relates to our liberties and our freedoms.
Yeah, take the high fructose corn syrup off the table, teabaggers.
It's the Sherman Engel Second Amendment remedies. Mm-hmm.
The Second Amendment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me.
Second Amendment.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. I love it when Christians support torture and violence and cutting taxes for the wealthy who need them least and cutting services for the ones who need them the most. You know, I like living in bizarro Jesus land.
Yeah, we're running on that lock and load platform.
Yeah.
What do you know? You're not a constitutionalist pastor, John.
No, I'm not a constitutionalist pastor.
Wow.
This is true. I don't even know what that means because it doesn't exist.
It kills me that there is such a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Ron, and you're right. As Christine McDonald would say, right? Telly, right?
I know. I tell you
what. Oh, God.
Oh, she's me. I don't want to badmouth her.
I'm
Ron in Hollywood, Florida.
Eddie.
Yeah. How you doing, Stephanie?
Hello. Good.
I was Rebecca's friend. I used to call your show all the time. Rebecca and I used to talk all the time.
Oh.
And I'm worried about the debates down here. And Marco Rubio and Rick Scott are both common crooks, and they want to take over and privatize Social Security. And I'm on disability, and I'm afraid they're going to cut people with disabilities.
Yeah. Did you watch the debate yesterday, Ron? I saw a little bit of the Rubio and Chris debate. And Chris sort of called him on his crookiness, and he got a little flustered, didn't he?
Yeah, I know. I was wondering if he's still using that Republican card to get groceries. But I'm also I'm worried about Rick Scott because he's not a very good person to run.
Yeah, you're not really. You can't mention Marco Rubio and Rick Scott in the same crookedy sentence. I mean, Rick Scott's a different level of crookedness.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've spent a lot of time in Florida.
Indeed, I have. And, you know, I like Medicare fraud as much as the next patriot.
Of course.
But really, when you're running for governor, and this is another reason why, you know, Kendrick Meek shouldn't drop out. We need Democrats to show up at the polls.
He was good in this debate, actually.
Well, yeah. If people would listen to him. I mean, the guy's, you know, on paper, the best candidate we've got. It's just in charisma, he comes up a little meek.
You see what I did there?
Hey! But, I mean, look, Rubio's got it. There's nothing, that's not going to change. But what's important is that people in Florida don't despair over that and get out to vote for Sink, because Rick Scott is the real criminal. And I can't believe Florida's going to be so awful to put that guy in the governor chair.
How close is that?
How close is it? It's pretty close right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why it makes a difference. That's all the stuff we're talking about. Now is the time.
Yeah, stop whining about Rubio. He's got the gig. It's bought and paid for. It's done. The real thing in Florida, much more important, is Rick Scott.
Get out
of the way. This guy is an arch criminal.
We'll call you the Wambulance. All right, let's go to David in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Dave. Hi, Dave. Dave.
Are you there, Dave?
Heads up, everybody, this morning. What's going on? For God's sakes. Let's go.
I hear him fumbling with the phone.
I think he dropped the phone on his floorboards and he's trying to get it while driving.
I'm so nervous. Hello, Edward in Long Island.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Goddess. I'm defending the Department of Justice's action against the DAT.
Don't ask, don't tell. Uh-huh.
Right. It's my understanding that it is law that, you know, DAT.
Right. To be permanent, it has to be done by Congress.
Right. And it, That's why they have to go the long route. There's no shortcuts on this one. If the next president comes in and is Republican...
Well, there is if you elect all Republicans, then homosexuality itself will be illegal. So that's
true.
Yes, that's the Montana state.
But but homosexuality didn't exist before 1968, so it wouldn't be a big problem.
Of course not.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was.
I don't know. Some guy. Hey,
wait,
Mikey likes it. Mikey likes it being the best gay porn film title I've ever heard.
What?
Tom's calling from Beaver Dam. I said Beaver.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. You know, probably somebody.
How's your beaver up there?
Beaver.
Is there good dentistry in Beaver Dam?
Freezing the tail off, really. But anyhow, somebody has probably thought of this before, but the upcoming midterm, let's go back and take a look at 1934. That was FDR's first midterm. Mm-hmm. Our economic situation is just about the same as it was then. And overwhelmingly, the Democrats won.
Well, they were much more liberal then, too, keep in mind. It was a much more progressive agenda FDR had embarked on than our current commander-in-chief, God bless him. We all like him very much.
Well...
Yeah. Well, no, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, Frank Rich wrote a good piece, but it really is, you know, A, the president has not gotten credit for a lot of the good stuff he's done. Part of that is their fault in terms of, like you were saying,
not
the PR thing.
It
but
properly.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, what we need to do is send a message that we're with him and we want him to go further. And so I think that's, you know, that's
exactly.
Why you cannot sit this out.
I've said all the time, some of us are hard on Obama because we want him to be reelected. We want to see him fighting more. You know, FDR was a harder fighter. He had a much more progressive agenda. He took the fight to them and he earned their respect a lot more. The mistake Democrats keep making, it's the Clinton disease. You keep thinking people who hate you are going to like you if you agree
but
with them.
And
FDR
that,
welcomed
but
their hatred.
I mean, I was saying during the Bush years, this isn't my dad and Goldwater's Republican Party anymore.
Exactly.
Now it's not even Reagan's. He would get teabagged into the next election cycle.
Reagan would be kicked out of the GOP.
Are you kidding?
Reagan never balanced a budget. He added 61,000 jobs to the federal government. He talked with our enemies. He gave amnesty to Mexicans. Who let him into the party of Reagan?
Exactly. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the waning moments of the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you?
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. John Fuglesang live in the New York Bureau. Edie McClurg, Mondays with McClurg, continues in the
Yay.
L.A. Bureau.
Hello,
along
hello.
With mooks. All right.
I'm not a mook. Do you have to be a boy
you're
to be a
mook?
You're a
mookette.
You're a mookette.
Okay. She's too foxy to be a mook.
A mooketeer.
Oh.
A mooketeer.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Tomorrow, Alaska Senator Mark Begich joins us tomorrow in hour 2, plus Marcos Moulitsis of Daily Coast to talk all things midterm. So another big show. All right, some breaking celebrity news. Chris Lavoie, Lindsay Lohan has been ordered to remain in rehab at the Betty Ford Clinic until
she
January.
She said no.
She said what?
Well, the judge said yes.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't matter what she said. She will remain in rehab.
Yeah.
It's probably best for her, hey?
It's kind of rehab at this point.
Exactly.
They tried to make her go to rehab. She said, are you holding?
Speaking of Amy Winehouse, there are new pictures of her up at delisted.com. She looks really good.
Really?
Holy crap.
Good.
She
cleaned up?
She looks like she's pulled herself together.
Wow.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like Keith Richards anymore?
No, she doesn't.
No. She's so beautiful.
She's
get
put on
the,
she's put on some weight and, you know, doesn't look like a stick anymore. And
that record sounds better now than when it came out, by the way. Get that woman back in the studio.
And she's getting ready to release a new album.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome.
Yep.
Well,
we hope.
Good for her.
Yep.
All right. Jenny McCarthy says there is no need for a man. She got there a little later than
anywhere,
me.
Anywhere, anytime.
There's no need for talent either.
Oh.
John people saying meow. She has revealed she knows how to sexually satisfy herself, and she isn't embarrassed about it. She said, I know a lot.
She looks in the mirror.
I know a lot about my own self-love and taking care of myself.
She's getting better,
that is not a...
Yeah, no, exactly. And that is not a skill of mine. I'm an anti-masturbation activist only because I don't find myself attractive.
I know.
I'm just not good at it.
Well, you don't think about yourself. That's narcissistic.
I know, but I'm just not good at it. I'm just saying I'm not good at it.
I tried, but I was turned off how easy I was with myself.
You're like, you man slut.
I,
you
I gave it up to me right away.
Gives it up, yeah.
I fight
she's
with
a slut. Look at her slut.
I need the real thing. I'm just not good at it. It's just that I'm spazzy.
Well, you can think about someone else besides yourself.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yes, that's the problem.
Maybe that's the problem. I don't ever think of anyone.
You're looking in the mirror, yes, thinking about yourself.
Stephanie's the only woman I've ever been with who cried out her own name at the moment of time.
You need the fantasy life of Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
He can find love almost anywhere he looks.
I'm not taking Coke cans out of your refrigerator anymore.
Wow, this has really gotten to be these Hollywood tell-alls. This is a little bit. There's a few degrees of separation here. So Oksana Grigorieva.
Yes, Mel Gibson's ex. Yes.
Baby mama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That green thing was enough.
Bodyguard claims they had an affair. He's writing a tell-all about his alleged relationship with her.
Oh, because she's that interesting.
The 11.
People would actually buy that?
I guess.
He got a book deal for that?
Apparently.
You know, Mel Gibson just got fired from Hangover 2. Did you talk about that on the show?
No. That.
No.
Mel Gibson
way.
Was supposed to be in Hangover 2 doing a self-parody and cameo, making fun of Mel Gibson. It sounded like a brilliant way for him to relaunch his campaign, his career, and his image.
That up.
No. But the actors in the film said they didn't want to work with Mel Gibson. And I'm like, but a rapist who bites a guy's ear off, sign him up, huh? Let's get him on the craft services table. I mean, really. Yeah. You know, they'll work with Mike Tyson, but not Mel Gibson?
Bradley Cooper said he was willing to do it, but Zach Galifianakis said no, he wouldn't.
Because Zach is black, Jewish, and gay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. The Christine O'Donnell Dopey Shallow Award goes in the Celebrity Stack 2. Kim Kardashian today, who tells the Toronto Sun about the worst thing the entire world is.
What?
I hate it when women wear the wrong foundation color. Ugh. It might be the worst thing on the planet when they wear their makeup too light.
Wow.
Well, it might not be the worst thing.
Not the worst thing in the world.
So maybe in your shallow celebutard world.
If OJ hadn't killed those people, we would have never heard of Kim Kardashian.
That's right.
That's true. That is true.
All the
Forget
Kardashians.
The genocide
just
and the
shut up. Shut up. Please shut up.
They need to employ Edie McClurg around any Kardashian around Paris Hilton just to follow them and say, just shut up. No one cares what you think. Please shut up.
Chris Lavoie has got to record Edie saying that so they can play it over the
show.
Great.
Yes.
I need Edie McClurg to just be tell various shallow celebrities to shut up.
But you know what?
No one cares.
They have the number one show on E. People are watching it. I know.
Okay.
And you have to be on E to enjoy it.
Well, do you see why I'm a little concerned about the electorate?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, because Kim Kardashian can vote. All right, the president talking about the economy this weekend.
One of the challenges we had 2 years ago was we had to move so fast. We were in such emergency mode that it was very difficult for us to spend a lot of time doing victory laps and advertising exactly what we were doing. I take some responsibility for that. I mean, our attitude was we just have to get the policy right. And we did not always think about making sure we were advertising properly what was going on.
Too late.
Edie, did you know 8% of Americans in one poll know that the president gave 95% of Americans a tax cut? That's the problem.
Didn't send him a check.
8%.
Only 8% of Americans know that the president has given us 95% of us a tax cut.
When Bush gave a tax cut for $400, he sent out mailings to every American bragging that he had given them. They got a check and they got an advertisement for the check they already got.
It's marketing. That's
killed a lot of trees, got him reelected.
One thing to do now, early voting.
I'm so great and I'm so stupid, but I'm so great.
But they're better at marketing than Democrats are.
And that's
unfortunately.
That's right.
Exactly. Edie McClurg just improvised that George Bush song.
Yes.
Stephanie and Madison, real quick on early voting. Go.
Yeah, I voted on Saturday, and it was so empowering, and I just kept having that sound bite, shut the beep up.
towards Republicans and all their ads. So
yep.
It was great.
I got your enthusiasm, Gap Radio, and then grab yourself on behalf of Mama when you're voting this fall. All right. I mean, in a week. All right. That's it for us. It's Mondays with Mugelsang. I have John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Edie McClurg, of course, in the LA
and we
Bureau.
We loved it.
Yeah, and John will be hanging around all week.
He'll be here all week.
He's like a hobo. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us.
I love you, Edie.
I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, and Miranda Moreno. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.